Arctic Spas is the leading spa in the world. Arctic Spas are engineered in northern Canada for Arctic weather. The controls are so advanced that the tub can talk to your laptop or your serviceman's computer. If you want a hot tub that will last you the rest of your life, go to goarctic.com. That's goarctic.com. I wouldn't put my name on a product that wasn't the very best. An Arctic Spa is all of that. This is Barbecue Bob.
Hey, it's Jop from the Grilling Guys, and spring's almost here. And if you've got a project planned for your backyard to create a little grill envy in your neighborhood, I know just the guys that can help you. It's Home Life Kitchen, Bath, and Outdoor Living in Ada, Michigan. These guys are putting outdoor entertainment areas that are unbelievable in people's backyards. Give them a call at 616-682-0100 or find them on the web at homelifehomes.com.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to oldworldolivepress.com.
Hi, I'm Jim Crank, and I would like to personally invite you to visit Cranker's Restaurant and Brewery. With three locations in Grand Rapids, Mount Pleasant, and Big Rapids, Cranker's brews award-winning beers and has one of the finest menus in the Great Lakes. From our barbecue brisket to our junkyard omelets, Cranker's is the ultimate microbrewery experience. I believe if you eat good, you feel good. Visit crankersbrewery.com. That's crankersbrewery.com. Eat good, feel good. Cranker's, yeah!
The Grilling Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fenvalley.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
The Herd with Colin Cowherd.
Tampa Bay's just not drawing flies. Now they've got a bad ballpark, leadership gone, and a bad team. And they don't draw when they had the Red Sox, Yanks at the height of their popularity, and they had a good team. I really think this is a contraction candidate in the next 5 years. I really do. I think Tampa, it's got an older, economically limited fan base, bad stadium, and now a really, really, really bad team. Tampa Bay, it won't be in Tampa within 5 years.
The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Weekdays from 10 to 1 on ESPN 961. Online at ESPN961.com.
Yo, it's Mr. Lover Lover, and I'm here with Barbecue Bob. Let him know that that jerk sauce is off the chain. You dig that? Yeah, that steak is off the chain.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grilling Guys. It's Saturday morning. Roll out of bed, put your feet on the floor, get out, fire up that grill. Going to be up against 60 degrees today. I can't wait to get home, give it a start. I'm going to head over to Sobey's Meats before I get home and pick up a little something for the grill and have a little bit of a smoke going on this afternoon, I think. I'm going to put a little pork loin on there and see what I can come up with. Have a little fun with that. But speaking of pork, Barbecue Bob is taking a vacation from pork and is down in Florida. So I got joining me Chef Bob Schultz from the culinary program at the Grand Rapids Community College. And just a wealth of knowledge. And we're talking about grilling every meal on the grill today. And we just finished a little breakfast. And next segment, we're going to have Chrissy Walker from the Gravel Bottom Brewery. She actually showed up a little early, and she brought us some beer. And I've got this microbrew called Javilla. You're going to want to hear about this one. So we've given that a try, but it's actually a Java and vanilla mix. And let me tell you.
It's absolutely phenomenal.
It is. And this is a home brewer's recipe. So we'll get into that. But right now we want to talk a little bit about grilled pork on the grill. And Bob, I'm going to go get a pork loin this afternoon. And my thought is to try to make it thin so I can make a Cuban sandwich. When I get the raw piece of meat, I'm envisioning like a foot-long pork loin, and what are they, about as big around as a softball.
That's correct.
Right. So I'm going to cut that thing in half lengthways, so I got about six-inch pieces of it. And then what I thought I might do is kind of butterfly it down the center, go about three-quarters of the way down through, and lay that thing open. But I want to thin it out a little bit. When I want to hit that with a meat hammer.
That is correct.
How do I do that? What's that technique look like?
Yes, that's a great question, because that's a common mistake, that you'd rather start lighter with a mallet rather than using a lot of force when you're first hitting that piece of protein. If you hit it too hard, it will start to rip, and there's ways to fix that. But you want to go fairly light, so it's not a whole lot of pressure, but you can keep adding the pressure and thinning the piece of meat out. And so I always use we usually go about 25 pounds of pressure when we start hitting that piece of protein when we first start off.
Okay, so when I'm envisioning cutting the three-quarters of the way through and laying that thing out on a butterfly it out on a board.
Yes.
Do I have to put like a cellophane or wax paper or what, anything on top of that before I start hitting
it
with a mallet?
Yes, definitely. I put saran wrap film on that. Also, by doing that, it prevents the meat from going all over the counter, all over and cross-contaminating anything.
Well, that's
so we
important.
Definitely saran wrap that and then hit it with a mallet.
Okay, and by doing that, in my mind, I'm tenderizing it, but I'm also getting an even thickness, which is going to cook consistently. Now, after I've used the mallet on it, do I season it before I use the mallet, or do I season it after?
Actually, that's a great, great question. I like to season it actually when I'm right before I'm starting to hit it with a mallet. It kind of forces those spices and herbs right into the protein, and just so they can penetrate right in the pork loin.
Okay. So I've got this thing seasoned, and I've got it flattened out. I'm going to put it on the grill. I kind of got to go by my eye of That's whether correct. This thing's done, because I've got this, if I did it right, I'm down to about a half inch thick.
That is correct.
Is what I want. And it's going to cook quicker, but it goes farther when you've got it flattened out. But two, to me, it's not as dense. It's a better sandwich meat than a big old hunk of cross-cut pork that off that loin.
That is correct. And a lot of times when people cook with a loin, especially a pork loin, because it doesn't have the marbling and the fat in there, you have to take in consideration when you're cooking it, you want to pull it just a little bit early. A lot of people get a little nervous when they're cooking with pork, and they want to cook it till it's basically dry. And you really don't want that with pork, because it's going to carry over cook, and if you go too long with such a tender piece of meat, it actually gets tough.
Right. And that's a very important point is, You take that thing off. When we're grilling steaks, and we'll talk about this in the fourth segment, but when we're grilling steaks, we usually are using a digital thermometer.
That's correct.
And a medium rare is you're at about 135, 140 degrees, and you always want to pull that about 10 degrees, 5 to 10 degrees below where you want it to finish, because it's going to cook on the board.
Correct.
So to speak. When you pull it off, it's still going to continue to finish. And this pork does the same thing.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
So we got this big piece of it kind of looks like about a dinner plate. I mean, now that this piece of pork, I got it flattened out, we've got it cooked. And, you know, these Cuban sandwiches are very, very popular. And I love making these things. And I'm just curious about a couple things with regard to those that you would make. Is generally, one of the best things in a Cuban sandwich is the mustard.
Absolutely.
And so can you tell me a little bit about different kinds of mustards that might fit into a Cuban sandwich? Because it isn't just your French's yellow. While that's great stuff, and I'm not dogging French's, but there's better mustards out there for that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. You want a nice, strong mustard. A beer mustard actually is absolutely phenomenal. Would be with this.
Christie's eye just lit up. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And if you don't have a beer mustard, just take a nice mustard and add a little bit of beer to it. Nice thing about mustard, because of the ingredients in the mustard, it has vinegar, it has sugar, it has salt. All those particular ingredients in a mustard is actually a natural tenderizer. So that would actually kind of help soften the proteins when you're grilling it. And by rubbing it with a nice spicy mustard, it's going to be absolutely beautiful.
Now, I can rub the mustard on there before I grill it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a tip right there that you want to make sure you write down in the dust on the dash, because mustard on a piece of pork acts almost like a marinade when you're cooking it, and it'll cook off. Most of it will cook off while you're in the cooking process. I mean, when we're doing our pork butts, which is a bigger, heavier, dense piece of pork, we rub them with mustard to get the seasoning to adhere
Correct.
A little bit better and almost use it as a glue. But when you're cooking on this stuff that's been hit with a mallet, you'll probably get more of it to stay on there than you would with a big, dense pork butt. But anyway, what about olive oils? Do you use oils when you're working with pork as a marinade, if you will?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The olive oil will act as another marinade, and also will soften the meat a little bit. I always use a decent olive oil. A lot of times if you get in over-the-counter olive oil, if you really read the label, a lot of it is just vegetable oil with a little bit of olive oil. It's kind of a misconception out there with some olive oils.
Right.
So you want a good olive oil. How do you know if it's a good olive oil? Is if you taste it, it's going to have a little bit of pepper and a little bit of bitterness right in the back of your palate right when you taste it.
There you go. Or you could always count on going to the Old World Olive Company.
Absolutely.
And they've got dozens of flavored olive oils there and that are infused. But they're pure olive oils, and everybody knows I cook with those a ton. So anyway, we got this Cuban sandwich. We got the pork loin done. We've got it marinated. We've done a little olive oil and some mustard on this thing. Maybe a little bit of pickle juice. Everybody likes that big, spicy dill pickle on their Cuban sandwich. And, you know, a big loaf of soft bread is all you need. You know, maybe you could tell me a particular type of bread for a Cuban sandwich.
No, a nice soft bread, a nice sourdough bread would be absolutely wonderful.
Perfect. And so what I do is I get this all together, and then I put this on the grill, and I'll take like a pan lid and put on top of it, and then maybe a brick or something, because I want to, you know, kind of like a panini press. I want to create that at the grill, because I want those grill marks on that sandwich. Do that for about 5 minutes on one side. Maybe put a little bit of that olive oil on the bread on the outside
to
get it to crisp up a little bit. Flip it over, do it again, and I tell you what, you are ready to eat, man. So there it is, the grilled Cubano sandwich on the grill, a la the grilling guys and Chef Bob Schultz. So coming up next, what I've been waiting for, and hopefully you have too, is we've got Chrissy from the Gravel Bottom Brewery. She's the hot blonde that's going to teach you how to do a little brew. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Turn it up.